Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
don't know what's going on there. But anyway, did you get your situation resolved, Sister Denise, with your house?
They still working on it. We took pictures, and now we're waiting on Safe Farm to approve it.
Okay. But they accepted the contract at least.
Not yet. No.
Okay. All right. We're just wondering how that came out for you.
No, not yet. We still working. I'm still working on that.
Amen. 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 All right, we're going to go ahead and get started then and get going in this. Let's see. We need our statement of faith. Let me pull that up. Okay, our statement of faith on this evening. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go forth. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify your name and we lift you up and we magnify you on today, Father. We extol you. We extol you. We extol you, O Yah Elohim. And we glorify you, Father. And we thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory, glory, glory. All right, our scripture for today, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16. I don't know what I got going on here with my throat, but I'm trying to get on my nerves. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In your name, amen and amen. All right. Just a second. All right. So we are continuing in the series. Tuesday night, newcomers. This is, you can ask questions in this particular setting, and I will do my best to answer it. We are still in being circumcised in heart and in flesh. And on tonight, in this particular lesson, we're going to start with, let me get to that lesson. We're going to start with question number 14 in this series. Is circumcision of the heart a new concept introduced in the New Testament? Is circumcision of the heart a new concept? Because a lot of times I talk to people and they believe that, you know, confession and circumcision of the heart and those types of things are new things that the Most High wants, okay, that he wanted and required in, you know, as part of the new covenant. But the truth of the matter is this is still part of the old covenant and reiterated in the new. So let us go to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16 of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Now, this is Torah. This is the Old Testament. And the Most High always wanted Israel to circumcise their heart. to get rid of that unbelief, to get rid of that being stubborn and not doing what he said to do. Okay? And so this is not a new concept. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4. Okay, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4. To ya, and take away the foreskin of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn so that none can quench it because of the evil of your doing. So again, the Most High is this concept of circumcising your heart is not anything new. It is what the Most High has desired and wanted from his people all along. So Messiah says that in the New Testament that we should do the same thing, that we should circumcise our heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, and Jeremiah 4:4, we see that Yah wanted the people to be circumcised of heart as well as flesh. The requirement to circumcise the foreskin of your heart was to repent, be genuinely sorry for your sins, and to cut sin out of your life. This did not annul the requirement for circumcision of the flesh in all males in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, Israel is still required. Where the Gentiles, this was not ever required for the Gentiles until they want to come close, until they want to keep, like, the Passover. Then they had to circumcise their flesh as well. Has nothing to do with getting into the kingdom, okay, with being saved. But if they wanted to come close and keep his feast days, then they had to be circumcised. Okay, so let's move on. Let's look at Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed. Let's look at Abraham's seed here. Who are Abraham's seed according to the gospel? Who are his seed according to the gospel? Let's go to Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. The book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Not as though the word of Elohim hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they called children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise, are counted for the seed. So we're going to need to look at who are the children of the promise. We know Isaac was the promised seed. Okay? And through Isaac, Messiah would be born. Not through him directly, but through his lineage, and through Abraham's lineage. So the promise is if you are in Messiah. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not into seed. So, not talking about multiple seeds, one seed. And as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. So anyone who is Messiah, who is in truly a Messiah, is considered to be the seed of Abraham by faith. Okay, so it has really nothing to do with being the seed of Abraham by flesh. And this is where a lot of my Hebrew brothers and sisters get tripped up at, because the Most High is looking for a people of faith. He's not altogether just, you know, doing away with Israel of the flesh, but he's looking for a people of faith, and he wants Israel also of the flesh by the blood to get faith in Messiah, to operate in him through faith. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before Elohim in the law was 430 years after, which was 430 years after, and not disannul, that it would make the promise of none effect. So the promise that the Most High gave Abraham, the law which was given to Moses, didn't cancel it out. That promise. Okay, and that promise was in Mashiach. The law doesn't cancel out the promise of faith. The law of Torah doesn't cancel out the law of faith. Yet and still, we have to come by faith. We have to keep the law through Mashiach. That's what the New Testament teaches us, that our faith in him and our belief in him is why we should keep the law, because he died that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was death, that we might be redeemed from it. And so we know that from the series that we've been doing on false salvation, that in that you had to keep the law. Not say you're not up under the law, but not say that you can just sin and then just say, I'm sorry, and Elohim will forgive you, especially if it's willful sin. You had to be obeying his voice and keeping the law. And so this is the same promise in the New Testament that, hey, because you believe by faith, you should keep the law. Not saying by faith, we don't have to keep it. It's just the opposite. Drop down to verse 26, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. For you are all the children of Elohim by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. For as many of you as have been baptized into Mashiach have put on Mashiach. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Yeshua HaMashiach, or Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this includes Jew and Gentile, Abraham's seed, and it's by faith in what Messiah did for us. And then by faith in Messiah, you should be keeping the statutes, the laws, the commandments, and the ordinance and the judgments of the Most High. Messiah kept them all, and we're to become like him, so we have to keep them. And I pray we can get this. I pray we can see this. Is circumcision required by Gentiles to become part of Abraham's seed? Is circumcision required for Gentiles to become part of Abraham's seed? The book of Acts, chapter 15. And we're going to start in verse 1. Now, this was a big controversy in that day. And there were some Pharisees that were going around saying, unless the Gentiles were circumcised in flesh, they could not be saved. And so they were, you know, running around telling men that were 70, 80, 90 years old, 10, 20, 30 years old, you got to be circumcised in the flesh to be saved. When Paul and Barnabas heard this, because they hadn't been teaching that, and the Most High had not told Paul to teach this in order to get into the kingdom. So the Pharisees are looking at the law. And the law said, hey, if you're going to become part of Israel, you have to be circumcised. And they're equating Israel with being the kingdom of the Most High, the nation of Israel. But the kingdom of the Most High is higher than the nation of Israel. And so he said, in order to come into my kingdom, let's look and see what this is. Let's break it down by the scripture, okay? So Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So this is the question that's going to be talked about all through Acts chapter 15. Do you need to be circumcised in the flesh to be saved, to enter into the kingdom of the Most High? Because that's what being saved means, to be saved from the wrath of the Most High, but also to become a citizen in his kingdom. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, so Paul and Barnabas Barnabas. This is a big fight between Paul and Barnabas, and these are Pharisees. We'll read it later, but take my word for it. They're Pharisees, and they've been converted. These Pharisees have accepted Yeshua HaMashiach as the Christ. They've been baptized in his name. They've been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. But they are teaching that you got to be circumcised, that the Gentiles must be circumcised in order to be saved. So Paul and Barnabas said they had no small dissension. That means no small disagreement. Hey, what are you guys teaching? That ain't part of the gospel. This is a big deal. Okay? So, let's finish that. They did, when, therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them to go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So what is the question? Do the Gentiles have to be circumcised to be saved? Okay? Because this is what the Pharisees were teaching. Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So now we need to send some men, Paul and Barnabas, and some of the Pharisees to Jerusalem with this question. Let's get this matter straightened out, okay? So let's keep reading. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and the elders. And they declared all things that Elohim had done with them. So Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas and some of these Pharisees have gone to Jerusalem to ask the question, do the Gentiles need to be circumcised in order to be saved? This is the question. And you need to write that down so that when we're reading this chapter, we have an understanding of what's being discussed. Okay? Do the Gentiles need to be circumcised after the manner of Moses? Okay? According to the law as it was given to Moses to be saved. So now they're at Jerusalem, and they've been received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And that they declared all things that Elohim had done with them. But there arose up certain sects of the, underline it, Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them. Now the law required Gentiles, in order to become part of Israel, to be circumcised. That was the law of Moses, the law under Moses. Okay, given to Moses by Elohim. Wasn't the law of Moses. I don't like the way they word that, but, you know, Moses didn't write a law that Elohim didn't give him. So this was the law that was given to Moses by Elohim if a stranger wanted to come close and become part of Israel. Then all of their males had to be circumcised. And so it appears that these Pharisees are believing that these Gentiles are becoming part of Israel. And so they're believing that, hey, they got to be circumcised according to the law as it was given to Moses. Okay? Verse 6. And the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. Again, the matter is, do the Gentiles have to be circumcised in order to be saved? That's the question. And when they had when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago Elohim made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And Elohim, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh, even as he did unto us. So Peter is saying, hey, you know that the Most High sent me to the Gentiles to open the gospel to them, and that they received the Ruach HaKodesh just as we did on the day of Pentecost 10 years earlier. and Acts about 15, well, 10 years earlier in Acts chapter 10. Okay? Verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt you, Elohim, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? He's talking about the Gentiles as the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Now, the problem with this was, the problem with this is that the further you moved away from Jerusalem, the harder it was to bring your male child back to Jerusalem to be circumcised on the eighth day to keep that law, okay? And so Peter saying, hey, why are you going to put this yoke on the disciples or the Gentiles to make them have to bear this same burden that we have, that all our male children have to be baptized by the eighth day. I mean, not baptized, but circumcised by the eighth day, and we got to come to Jerusalem to get it done. So if you lived in Rome, or you lived in Mesopotamia, or you lived in Egypt, or, you know, anywhere else outside of Israel, then you, once your child was born, it didn't matter what time of the year, you were typically going to try to be being close to Israel or Jerusalem when your child was born, so you could fulfill this law. So Peter is saying, hey, why are you going to put this burden on them? Okay? Let's keep going. He says, which our fathers nor we were able to bear. We ain't been able to keep up with this either. Okay? So we know that there was a problem with this. Now, Messiah, he maintained the law. His father and mother took him to the temple on the eighth day to have him circumcised. But not all Jews were able to do this. Not all our forefathers were able to do this. And this is what Peter is saying. But we believe that through the grace of Yeshua HaMashiach, verse 11, we shall be saved, even as they. We believe that we shall be saved, even as they, the Gentiles. Then all the multitude kept silent. Oh, what he just said was very big. And gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders Elohim had wrought or done among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how Elohim at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them of a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after Yah, of men, the rest of men, might seek after Yah and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith Yah, who does all these things. So James, Messiah's brother, said, hey, prophecy, you know, this agrees with prophecy. Known unto Elohim are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, now James is over the church in Jerusalem. The apostles are going out and they're spreading the gospel. And, you know, the disciples of the apostles are going out and spreading the gospel. And the church, all the churches that the apostles had set up, Paul, when he was finger right there, we are in verse 17. Let's go back to Acts chapter 8. Okay, let me show you something real quick. Acts chapter 8. Let me bring up my Bible. Going to go off on a different tangent for just a second. second as my Bible comes up. Book of Acts, chapter 8. And we're going to be getting, we're going to start with verse 1, Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the church at Jerusalem was being persecuted by Paul. All the people scattered, except for the apostles. Now we're about 5 years later. No, probably about 7 years later. And we are back at the church at Jerusalem. And we got some Pharisees that have been saved. We got Paul who has been saved. And, you know, Paul has been out some years evangelizing and setting up churches. And now he's come back to Jerusalem because there's a conflict. The conflict is we got some Pharisees saying that the Gentiles have to be circumcised in order to enter into the kingdom. Paul is saying, no, they don't. Barnabas is saying, no, they don't. Peter is saying, hey, the Most High accepted the Gentiles at my preaching, and they weren't circumcised. And the Most High filled them with the Ruach HaKodesh, and they weren't circumcised. So let's go back to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and we're in verse 17. That the residue of men might seek after Yah and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith Yah, who does all these things. Known unto Elohim are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentences trouble them not. Now this is James talking. I'm the head of the church, and evidently the head of the apostles as well. My sentence is that we trouble not them, the Gentiles, which from among the Gentiles are turned to Elohim, that we don't trouble them, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, don't worship other gods, other Elohim, and from don't have sex outside of marriage, from fornication, and from things strangled, dietary, and from blood. Don't eat blood. If you do these things, if you tell them these things before you accept them into the body, before you baptize them, tell them, hey, you know you can't be worshiping no other God. You know that you shouldn't be practicing sex outside of marriage. So you got to repent of these things. Don't be eating anything that's strangled. And from consuming the blood of those things. For Moses of old time, now this is the key right here. This is the key. For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Now when you go through the book and you're reading the gospel and you're reading the book of Acts, you're reading about the Galatians, you're reading about, you know, the Corinthians, the Ephesians, any of these other cities, when you're reading about them, these are Gentiles in Jewish or Hebrew synagogue, Hebrew Israelite synagogue, okay? And that's how they're hearing the gospel. They're amongst the synagogues, and most of them are either proselytes or becoming converted into, for lack of a better word, Judaism. Into believing, you know, they want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And in this case, they were wanting to join Israel. But for the kingdom's sake, for salvation's sake, James said, what I think about the matter is, my sentence is, my judgment is, that you don't bother them with that. Tell them don't be worshiping other gods and don't be having sex outside of marriage and don't be eating things that are strangled, and don't be consuming the blood of those things. Why? Because they will be able to learn the rest of the law during the weekly synagogue. They will hear the law of Moses. They will learn about the law of Moses. And you don't be having, you know, you don't really have to give them culture shock. But now you got to do 614 laws that you never knew. And as the gospel is going out, we're going to start reaching out to Gentiles that are not at the synagogue. They're not wanting to become Hebrew Israelites or Jewish, for lack of a better word. So don't put this requirement on them. They don't have to join Israel, even though they're being grafted in to the body of Messiah, part of Israel. Because that requirement circumcised in the flesh was only if you wanted to become a member of Israel. Then it was a requirement. It was a law. So evidently, it's not a law that you must become a citizen of Israel if you're a Gentile and you want to be saved. Now, when they want to come close, when they learn the law and they want to come close, they want to keep Passover. They want to keep the heave offering. Feast of first fruit. Feast of weeks. Tabernacles and booths. And the Day of Atonement. And in order to keep those things, especially Passover, they had to be circumcised by the law. Now, there's nothing in the scriptures that thou hast to keep Passover. Nothing. But when they learn the law and they want to keep the Most High's feast days, then they may want to come close and keep it. And if they do, then they need to be circumcised. That law didn't go away. But only then, but not to, for salvation, not to have their sins pardoned. They don't have to be circumcised. So let's continue to read this. Verse 20, Acts chapter 15, verse 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach them, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So let's send some other brothers out with you. But as you can tell, the Gentiles, this ain't required. They don't need to be circumcised in order to be saved, to get into the kingdom of the Most High. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, sending greetings unto the brethren which are at of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we have gave no such commandment. Stop right there. Because you will have Gentiles to say, see, it says we don't have to keep the law. They'll use that verse. But it's not the entire law that this chapter is talking about. It's talking about keeping the law concerning circumcision. And all your males have to be circumcised. It is not the entire law that is being talked about. So you will have the Gentiles to say, see, right here it says, we don't have to keep the law of Moses. But that is not what this chapter is talking about at all. You don't have to get circumcised in order to be about. And you don't have to keep the law of Moses as it was given to him by Elohim concerning if a stranger wants to come close, that he had to be circumcised if he wants to come close and join Israel, because this is not about the Gentile joining Israel or becoming part of Israel. This is about the Gentile becoming part of the kingdom of Elohim, staying a member of their own nation. So no, the law doesn't require you to be circumcised. But it does require that you don't worship any of the Elohim. It does require that if you are practicing fornication, sex outside of marriage, that you stop. It does require that you practice some dietary laws and don't strangle your animals when you kill them. It does something to the animals, stresses them in such a way that you probably shouldn't be eating it. And don't consume the blood of the animal. So when we're talking to the Gentile nations and we're telling them what does it take to be saved, then this is what we're supposed to tell them. We're not supposed to give them culture shock and say, hey, you got to start doing all this. No, they will learn that over time. Once they start learning the laws as given to Moses, then they'll learn that, hey, wait a minute, maybe I should start doing this. Hey, wait a minute, maybe I should not do that. And not maybe I should not, but I need to stop. Not a shotgun bath. Boom! You got to keep all these 613 buckshots in order if you want to be saved. No. Let them get the Ruach HaKodesh. And then learn what the law is. Then decide whether they want to come close. Oh, I'd like to keep the Passover. Oh, well, if you want to keep the Passover, then you must do this. Because this is the law concerning the Passover. Okay, let's keep going. Back to verse 24. Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, perverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised. The law to whom we have gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our master, Yeshua HaMashiach. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. We're going to put it in letter, and they're going to tell you by mouth what we said. For it has been good to thee. Now, when I first read this chapter, to me, the most important vote on this and agreement on this is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Repeat it, that you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornicating, which is, if you keep yourself, you shall do well. Fare ye well. So for the Gentiles to be saved, they were to be subject gradually, as they learned the law of Moses, on each Shabbat, each Sabbath. This was not to hinder their entrance into the kingdom. And this is what the Pharisees were putting on them. This is what today a lot of Hebrews try to put on the Gentiles. If you are a Hebrew Israelite, even if you are a Hebrew Israelite, and you didn't know you were a Hebrew Israelite, and you came into the knowledge that you were a Hebrew Israelite, the same requirement is on you. And if they're going to demand that you get circumcised, you have a mind of a Gentile, even if you're a Hebrew. You don't know all the laws of Moses that was given to Moses. So to get into the kingdom of Elohim, you have to do these necessary things as well. And then learn the law of Moses. And then if you want to have access to the king, to the land of Israel, when we are reconstituted, we are regenerated, when Messiah returns and takes back the land, and we are called back into the land, you need to be circumcised. Because circumcision in the flesh gives you a right and a claim to the land of Israel under Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. That's what that circumcision was all about. In the flesh, claim to the land of Israel. But it's not required for you to get into the kingdom of the Most High. So when we learn that we are Hebrews, and if we got a quote-unquote Gentile mentality, we grew up in the church, we were taught error, to be truthful, error. Then once you understand who you are, and if you want to claim to be a Hebrew Israelite, then you must be circumcised. But it has nothing to do with getting into the kingdom of the Most High. Not a single thing. Now, if you are born and into this and you understood this from the beginning, that you were a Hebrew Israelite, or whenever you came to that understanding, and you hadn't come into salvation in Messiah, you hadn't been redeemed from your sin, then you need to be baptized in his name and receive the Ruach HaKodesh, and you need to be circumcised in flesh if you want to claim to the land of Israel. That is what is required. So we've been teaching this thing and putting stuff on people that runs a lot of our people away, especially if they're in the church, because they've been taught in error. They've been indoctrinated by the church and saying, oh, you only have to do these things, not even abstain from blood, not even abstain from things that are strangled, but they are even still worshiping other gods in the church, thinking that they're worshiping the Most High. Okay, so they need to be taught correctly and then be brought in, even if they are Hebrew Israelites. Somebody to be, take a shotgun, take the law and load it into shotgun shells and then start blowing people away in order to get them into the kingdom. He doesn't expect that. So if we don't, you know, before I knew that I was a Hebrew Israelite, I wasn't born with that knowledge. I was in the church. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I was filled with the Ruach HaKodesh up under that name. I prefer to use Yeshua or Yahuwah, his real name, but there's power in the name of Jesus as well. And so the name semantic, you know, that's just what it is. It's something to divide. That's all that it is. Abstain from meat offered to idols, and you know you can't worship any other gods in the Most High. So if you are sacrificing meat to idols, you're worshiping other gods. So don't have any other god before me. Abstain from fornication, sex outside of marriage. Abstain from being strangled and from consuming blood. That's what we have to tell the Gentiles. You want to come into the kingdom? You can't be doing those things. You got to repent from those things and turn away from them and turn toward the Most High. All the rest of the law is expected to be taught to them over time. Not, you know, you got to first do this, then do that. You got to first be keeping all the law and then get saved. That's not what the scriptures say. Not what it says, okay? So we got to understand that. So that's what Acts chapter 15 was all about. Do the Gentiles have to be circumcised in the flesh to be saved? No, they don't. Tell them to stop worshiping other Elohim. Tell them to stop fornicating. Hey, you in a marriage or you living with, stacking up with somebody? You can't do that. Can't be having sex outside of marriage because fornication is one of the requirements that will keep you from receiving salvation. One of the ones that is written. Tell them to abstain from fornication and tell them to stop strangling their meat. If it is chicken or whether it is they're still eating pork, and they don't know the dietary laws, so they're eating pork, they're eating all the stuff they're not supposed to eat. And if they tell them to stop that, they tell them don't eat its blood and don't strangle it. Now, when they come in and they come into the synagogue or they start learning the laws of Moses and the dietary laws, oh, wait a minute. I didn't know we weren't supposed to be eating pork. I didn't know that rabbit was unclean. I didn't know that duck was unclean. Wow. Wait a minute. Catfish don't have scales. I didn't know catfish was unclean. They learn that stuff after they come. And the closer they want to get to the Most High, and the more that they're seeking after truth and they want to walk in the truth, the more they'll give that stuff up because, you know, this stuff really ain't pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to the Most High. I don't want to do anything that's not pleasing to Him. And they'll give it up. And if they don't believe that they're up under the law, then they will die in their sins. He'll say, they are the very ones using His name, doing these miracles, and He's going to say, get away from me. You worker of iniquity. You worker of lawlessness. I never knew you. Because you chose to stay where you were at. So this is what He tells us to tell the Gentiles. So we got to believe that and walk in that. Was just sort of Luke chapter 2. Because if Messiah was circumcised, then, and Messiah is their king as well as ours, was He circumcised? Luke chapter 2. And let's get starting in verse 21. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Yeshua, in your Bible, in the English, Jesus, which was so named of the angel before He was conceived in the womb. So the law required that all male children are circumcised on the 8th day. We're told that Messiah was circumcised on the 8th day. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to Yah. As it is written in the law of Yah, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto Yah. So we see that Messiah was circumcised on the 8th day. And then His mother, when her time of purification was done, 33 days, He came to make her sin sacrifice. Verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Yah, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. One was for an offering and the other one was for sin. A sin offering because there was blood. And so she fulfilled the law. And once she fulfilled the law, then now she's able to go back into the temple. She's able to go back into the synagogue. She's able to take part in things that are holy. She's considered to be unclean. And as long as she is unclean, she cannot take part of anything that is holy. So we see Mary fulfilling the law. We see Mary and Joseph fulfilling the law and having Messiah circumcised on the eighth day as required by the law. Are we commanded to walk as Messiah walked, as Yeshua walked? Let's go to 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 2. And we're going to get verses 5 and 6. 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected, and whoso keeps the Most High's word. In him verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked, even as Messiah walked. Messiah walked perfectly. Messiah walked without sin. If we say that we are in him, then we have to not sin. We have to learn the laws of the Most High and do them. His statutes, his commandments, his ordinance, and his judgments, and do them just like Messiah did. He was our example. And he walked perfectly. So we're commanded that we do so. Walk even as he walked. Okay, so we can't say, well, he was perfect and he was God. There's nobody else perfect. You are to become perfect. Because he says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. The Most High, that's the commandment. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. So we have to learn to walk in his laws. What's permitted, what's not. What we can do, what we cannot do. As Messiah did. Okay? So what was the purpose of circumcision? Let's go to Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans, chapter 4. And let's get verse 11 and 12. Romans chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And he received the sign of circumcision. That is talking about Abraham. A seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised. So Abraham believed Elohim and obeyed Elohim and did what Elohim told him to do. He was already obeying the law and doing what Elohim told him to do. He received the sign of circumcision. He received the promise before he was ever circumcised. And it's saying because of that, because he received the promise before he was circumcised in his flesh, up under that same faith that he had, that the Most High will allow the Gentiles in if they have the same faith, they just believe. Okay? So he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of his faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also, just because they believe and they act on it. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. So the Most High gave a promise to Abraham before he was circumcised. And now, here's the covenant that you and I are going to enter into as a sign of your faith. As a sign that you believe me and I'm making this contract with you, the covenant is circumcision. Everywhere you walk, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. And this will be my covenant with them, that they have a right to the land up under the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that I have with you, Abraham, that they have a right to the land if they are circumcised in their flesh. Now, when the Gentile wants to come close and wants to be a part of Israel, part of, quote-unquote, Israel, then they must be circumcised in flesh as well. And they'll be given their inheritance in whatever tribe they choose to dwell in Israel. And I've found those verses for you last week or the week before. I believe it's Ezekiel 44, might be 44:22. I should write this stuff down. Just a second. Ezekiel, let me look it up real quick. He's a 44:22. No, it's not that one. 37:22. I don't know why this verse seems so hard for me to remember. Maybe it's 22:44. Nope. Okay, I'm going to have to find it again. But I've told you guys before, maybe it's 47:22. Yeah, 47:22. So if you go to Ezekiel 47, starting in 21, Ezekiel 47, starting in verse 21. So shall you divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. So when the Most High comes back and reestablishes Israel in the land, all the tribes are going to divide the land again according to their inheritance by tribe. And it shall come to pass, in verse 2, that you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you. And to the stranger that sojourns among you, which shall beget children among you, they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. And they shall have an inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. So we see that the Most High is going to allow the Gentiles who want to join themselves to Israel to have an inheritance in the land, your children to have an inheritance in the land, and be as one that is homeborn in whatever tribe they're in. Okay. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourns, there shall you give him his inheritance, saith Yah Elohim. Whatever tribe they dwell in, they sojourn in. So we got to understand that, you know, we won't be able to do to the Gentiles what they did to us. And the Gentiles also get an inheritance in the land if they want to sojourn in the land with us. Don't want to stay in their own country. They want to come to the land of Israel and live in the land of Israel. Then the scripture says that they are to receive their inheritance in whatever tribe that they sojourn in. So let's go back. The purpose of the circumcision was to give the promise that and people who were not circumcised that they could come in to the kingdom of the Most High without being circumcised. But also the circumcision was a covenant to Israel for the land. Okay, and we just read in Ezekiel 47. That the Gentiles that wanted to sojourn among Israel, in Israel, their children would also have an inheritance in the land, and they were to be given an inheritance in the land, in whatever tribe they sojourned in. So all these things saying, you know, it's only going to be Hebrews in the land, there's not going to be any Gentiles, and the Gentiles that are there are going to be slaves and all this. There are going to be some slaves that are there. Not all of them will be Gentiles. Okay, so let's keep moving. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Back to Romans chapter 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, through the law not being given for another 430 years. So when the Most High gave Abraham the promise, the law, as it was given to Moses, was not in effect yet. It hadn't been given to Israel because Israel didn't exist. And from the time that Abraham received the promise to the time that Moses received the law at Mount Sinai was 430 years. Now, Abraham was in Egypt when this promise was given to him. That's why the time, the clock starts at 430 years, and it says that the children of Israel sojourned in Egypt 430 years. Not Israel itself. Started with Abraham. So when you go and you count those years up in Exodus and in Genesis, when you count those years up, you can't come up with 430 years. If you start from the time that Jacob came into Egypt, or if you start with Joseph, you can't come up with 430 years. It gives you the time so you can count it. It's not 430 years. 215 years. So there's another 215 years not accounted for. But it gives us that time where we should start to count right here. Okay? In Romans chapter 4. Okay? And so we can know, I think in Galatians as well, you can also get how that 430 years came to be. So the prophecy about Israel being in bondage 400 years, it applied to another time. Okay, and so we can look at that another time. It's not the lesson tonight. But the 430 years started at the time that Abraham received the promise from the Most High. And it ended. It didn't end, but it was told that it was 430 years before the law was given. It says that the children of Israel departed out of Egypt 430 years to the day. 430 years to the day. And within the first 3 months, have been departed out of Egypt. Most I brought them to Sinai and spent 6 days on the ground giving them the law. So we got to understand that this is what is being spoken of in in Romans chapter 4. Okay, verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. If it was required, if the promise required the law, then it wouldn't require faith, and faith would count for nothing. It is saying that Abraham was given the promise before he was ever circumcised. And so all the Gentile nations, and those, even those Hebrews, who are living as Gentiles, can come in by faith. And then when they learn that they're a Hebrew Israelite, and they learn that they must keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, or when the Gentile wants to come close and keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and wants to keep the Passover and those feast days, then they must be circumcised. They must keep the law. But the Most High doesn't ever expect us to shotgun somebody with the law and say, hey, you got to be doing all this before you can come into the kingdom. The word says otherwise, okay? It teaches the opposite. because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Where no law is, there is no transgression. So if the Most High hadn't revealed his law, then you can't be held accountable for the law, even though the law exists. It's like holding your child accountable for some rule you have that you never taught them about. And then said, I'm going to punish you because you broke that rule. What rule? You never gave me no rule about that, but I got a rule about that, and you broke it, I'm going to punish you. Most High doesn't work that way. That's why he told Israel in the past, if a man, if the congregation, if a priest sins ignorantly, ignorance of the law, they don't know it, then the day that they find out, they were to confess it, repent, and atonement could be made for them. Why? Because they did it in error. They did it in ignorance. The Most High has never punished for ignorance. But then it's the soul that sins presumptuously, that sins willfully, that knows that they're committing a sin, and they go and do it anyway, then that won't be forgiven them. And the only thing that changed in the New Testament was that, hey, once you come into the knowledge of it, of Messiah, once you come into the knowledge of the truth, if you willfully sin, there is no blood for that. Because you spit on what Messiah did. But you can bring ignorance into the Most High, and the first time you come to Messiah, you can bring your willful sin, because you got to confess. You can't confess what you don't know. So you confess your willful sin, things that you know, and as you learn the law, and you learn that something that you're doing is sin, then you confess it. Because now you're no longer ignorant of it. And he is true and just to forgive you. But willful sin, that's the same. The Most High doesn't change, okay? So this is the same thing he's saying by faith. The Gentiles are able to come in under Abraham, the faith of Abraham. They just believe that truth. They don't know all the law. They don't know all about salvation. Most of them aren't even being taught correctly. And some of it is just being falsely taught intentionally. But if they are truly seeking after the Most High, he will bring them into truth. If you are seeking after the Most High, he will bring you into truth. So you have to learn this and do it. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seed. Remember, who is the seed? It's not Israel. The seed are everybody who are in Mashiach, Jew and Gentile. That is the seed. Okay? Not to they only which is of the law, but to that which also is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even Elohim, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. And a lot of people don't understand that about the Most High. A lot of the times when the Most High is speaking about things that have not happened, to them in a way that they have already happened, as though they already existed, because they're in his mind and he's already spoken it and it's going to come to pass. So he speaks to those things which be not, that haven't happened yet, as though they have already happened. And it confuses people in the scripture, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, Abraham couldn't have children. Sarah couldn't have children. Most I waited. So you can't say, this is not of me. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of Elohim through unbelief. The Most High hates when we don't believe him. He really hates that. But was strong in faith, giving glory to Elohim, and being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able also to perform. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness, because he just believed without doubt, without unbelief. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Yeshua, our master, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So if we believe on Messiah, if we believe on Messiah without doubting the work that he has done, if we walk in it, if we have understanding, if we seek him out and we start to do things that he says to do, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do everything that I said to do. You'll do everything that the Father said to do if you understand it that way. If you don't know who he is, if you truly don't know who Messiah is, then do everything that the Father said to do, because he sent me into the world to tell you to do these things. Now, if you understand that Messiah is the Father, then he's saying the same thing all over again. If you love me, keep my commandments, as I told you to do in Torah. Okay, what purpose, the purpose of salvation, does being circumcised and uncircumcised matter? So for the purpose of salvation, does being circumcised or uncircumcised matter? Okay, we know the answer to that from Acts chapter 15, but let's get another witness. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's get verses 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse, if any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. If any man called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. This is for salvation's sake. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of Elohim. That's what's important. Commandments of Elohim to the Gentiles, when they first come in, is, hey, don't worship other idols. Don't worship idols. Don't offer anything to idols, meaning that you should only be offering sacrifices to the Most High. Don't fornicate, have sex outside of marriage. Don't eat anything strangled, and don't eat the blood of anything. And once they come to the synagogue, and they start learning all the other commandments of Elohim, it's the keeping of those commandments that's important. That's why this in the modern day church, when they're saying they're not up under the law, then they say that without understanding, because they don't want to be up under a law. They don't want to be up under the same law Israel was. It's to keep the commandments of Elohim. That's what's important. So how they can say they're not up under the law, when it's saying the important thing is to what? Keep the commandments. We don't have to keep that stuff. Oh, then you are, something's wrong with you. There's something seriously wrong with that person. What is the result of being circumcised to be saved? What is the result of being circumcised? Scripture talks about it. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith free, and not being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ or Mashiach shall profit you nothing. For I testify against every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become, or Mashiach is become, of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Keeping the law and trying to say, I'm good enough, I don't have to be baptized in Messiah. I didn't need Messiah. I'm good enough on my own. If I keep the law and I'm circumcised, I'm okay. Then you have fallen from grace. Okay? Because under grace, one time, you get to bring your willful sin to the Most High and be forgiven for it. Because in Torah, he did not forgive for willful sin. He did not forgive for it. But in Messiah, you could bring your willful sin to him one time, confess it, and it was forgiven you. And then once you learn that you were in sin about something, you confess that, and says he is true and just to forgive you if you confess it. Okay? But if you think you can keep all the law and then be circumcised and you're good, when he says, no, your very conception was sin. You were conceived in iniquity. Your very being, you are, because your mother and father had sex to conceive you, you were conceived in iniquity. It was an unclean act. When you were born, blood took place. You have to be baptized. And your circumcision doesn't really count for anything in that. Okay? For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Yeshua HaMashiach neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So to get into the kingdom, you got to have faith. You got to believe that Messiah came and died for your sins, and that you will be redeemed and raised up on the last day in peace with him if you do what he said to do by faith. Okay? But after you have come into the knowledge of the law and the knowledge of sin, then you can't just go out and just sin, and the law hasn't been taken away. So you have to learn what the law is. And keep it. Keep the commandments of God. That's why I said, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing. Don't have anything to do with the kingdom. Don't have anything to do with salvation. It has to do with having access to the land of Israel. But the Most High wants is the stiff-neckedness or the doubt and the unbelief and the stubbornness that's in our heart. Circumcise that and keep my commandments. Circumcise your own belief and keep my commandments. That's what I want you to do, okay? For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So we had already read in First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of Elohim. That's what matters. What is the motivating factor Why would somebody tell you that you need to be circumcised to receive salvation? Why were the Pharisees telling people? Now, we know their motivation could have been that, hey, you got to keep the law, Moses. You join in Israel. But they're not joining Israel. They're joining the nation. The whole world belongs to the Most High. Okay? So let's go to Galatians chapter 12. Galatians chapter 12. See what the scripture says as the motivation for telling somebody that. I'm sorry, I said Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And the word of the Most High reads, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. We want to show that we got you to do something in the flesh. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Mashiach. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But Elohim forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Verse 15, for in Mashiach neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. If you become a new creature, a new creation, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of Elohim. So somebody, Hebrew, might come up and say, hey, you need to be circumcised before you are saved. Why do you want me to be circumcised? Because the scripture don't say that. Maybe he's trying to glory in your flesh, in that he had you to be circumcised. He made you keep the law of circumcision, when the law of circumcision in this case does not apply. Yeah, I made him get circumcised. Glorying in it is contrary to the word of the Most High. Talk about a shadow of things to come. Because, see, people use this shadow, and they use these verses a lot of times, to not keep the law, because of the way that the scripture is written, when every place else is telling them to keep the commandments, but they don't want to keep them because it's not in their heart to keep them. And the law is just a shadow of things to come. The feast days are just a shadow of things to come. There's a shadow is an outline. You don't see in the shadow all the details. You can see the shadow of it, a dark form of it in an outline. The outline. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 17. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledging of the mystery of Elohim and of the Father and of Mashiach, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Because there are going to be false prophets, there are going to be false teachers, there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. They're going to try to entice you to do what they want you to do. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Mashiach, As you have therefore received Yeshua HaMashiach, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, as you have been taught. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, the doctrines of men. That's philosophy. I think this, feel about that. I think Brother Brooks so-and-so has a better understanding. He lines up more with what how I feel and what I think. Vain philosophy and vain deceit. After tradition of men, we've had this lesson already, past couple of weeks, that it is the tradition of men that the churches and the camps are mainly following today. Not the word of the Most High, but the traditions of men. After the rudiments of the world, and not after Mashiach. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily is the Ruach HaKodesh. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of sin, the transgression of the law. So this is where the churches fall apart, because they don't believe that they are up under the law. They don't believe they have to keep the law. So they are not putting it off. They're not putting off the body of sin and say, oh, if you fall, just confess it. He's doing just to forgive you. Philosophy and the doctrines of men, because that's not what the word says. By the circumcision of Yeshua, of Mashiach, buried with him in baptism. This is what baptism is for. You die, you're supposed to die to your sin before you are baptized, to know what your sins are. You can't confess what you don't know. Know what your sins are, confess them, and die to them. I'm no longer going to be doing that. It is dead to me. Then you are buried in baptism with him, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Elohim, who has raised him from the dead. So the Most High gives you credit for death without killing you. And you're supposed to come up out of that water a new creature. The old man being dead. The new man rising up out of the water like Messiah came from the grave in the newness of life. Not committing sin that kills you. And it's the willful sin that kills you. It's the willful sin that can't be atoned for. So anything that you confess before you were baptized, once you were baptized, if you do it again, you are knowingly doing it again. Messiah said there is no blood for that. That's why I said they're not teaching people correctly about salvation and what is expected. This is the expectation. You are dead to that stuff now. Or don't confess Messiah. Don't say he's your Savior. Don't say he's your King. Your Redeemer. If you're going to still walk in the same old sin, if you're dead to it. Now, you bury that which is dead. You don't bury things that are alive. You bury things that are dead. So we were supposed to die to that sin and be buried with him and resurrected as a new creature, not walking in the same old sin. get this. Putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Mashiach. It was circumcised from you when you confessed. You recognized it. It was cut from you. You were supposed to cut it off. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you also risen with him through faith of the operation of Elohim, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, has he given life together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Wipe your slate clean. You confess, I was a fornicator. See, what they do is have you confess, I was a sinner, and don't really have you confess your sin. I was a fornicator, and I was a thief. I was an adulterer. I was a whoremonger. I was a harlot. I was this, I was that, confess your sin. So do you know what not to do? And go, I confessed all that. I knew I was doing all that. I can't do that anymore. I won't do that anymore. Not that I'm trying not to do that. I hear that so many times from people. I'm trying not to do this. I'm trying to get better. No, your behind was supposed to put that stuff down when you came to Messiah. You're supposed to stop and die to it to get better. Not you trying not to sin, because now you're in trouble. You did something to try to make yourself better, and you made yourself worse. You're in a worse predicament than you were before. Because the scripture says, hey, once you come to the knowledge of the truth and you willfully sin up under Messiah, says you deserve a death worse than death. You deserve a punishment worse than death. And there is no sacrifice for that. So they're not teaching the people correctly. And I pray to the Most High that for those of us that when we hear the truth, that we step into it and we do it, that he forgives us, even if we were previously baptized in his name. Because they are teaching so much deceit and philosophy of men and just flat out just bad doctrine. Bad doctrine, not understanding how salvation works and obeying them, but doing what's convenient so they can continue to do what they were doing and saying, well, you know, I'm trying. Mosiah says, well, you ain't going to try to go get in that lake. Get in that lake. Let's see how well you can do that. So we want to come out of this nonsense. We want to come out of this false doctrine, these false teachings, that allow us to entertain not walking perfect before him. Saying we're trying. You won't find anywhere in the scriptures where the Most High says try. And those scriptures where people try to say, you know, we have Messiah. If we fall, it better be to ignorant sin and not willful sin. Well, if I didn't know, I know now, so I'm going to confess it. I ain't going to do that again. I'm going to die to that now because I know now. Not if you fall and he's going to advocate for you. Oh, yeah, that's one of mine. Forgive them, even though they know what they're doing. He never said that. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Not forgive them because, yeah, they know what they're doing. But they belong to me, so forgive them anyway. Yeah, you're stupid as hell. It's not what is ever taught in the scriptures. So we got to know that he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. The ordinance includes the charge and the penalty for that charge. He blotted that out. Not the law itself. which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. See, those are the doctrines of men that you believe, the false teaching that you believe, the transgression that you were under, that people were walking in, false doctrines, philosophy, versus the word of the Most High, not walking in his judgment. I'm going to nail all that to the cross. I'm going to blot it out. Now you got a clean slate. Go and sin no more. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink. When you get judged, when you get charged, when you get charged, you get charged when you are in transgression. So when he says, let no man judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath, with doing these things that I told you not to do. Don't get charged with not doing the things I told you to do, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Messiah. So they'll read these verses like, hey, you can't judge me if I'm eating pork, or if I am drinking things and I'm drunk at the altar, or if I'm drinking strong drink just to get drunk, or if I'm not keeping any holy day. If I'm not keeping the new moon, you can't judge me. If I don't keep Sabbath, you can't judge me or any of the other Sabbaths. See, they're misreading this, so they don't understand the word judgment. Judgment is, I find you guilty or innocent. And that only comes because you've been charged to be obeying the commandments, which are a shadow of the things to come. We ain't seen it all yet, but we got the outline. You should be keeping the outline at least. I don't know what every lesson is about. You know, some of these lessons are, and this is an example. We don't know everything that the Most High has for us to do, and that he will do for us, or that he has for us to do. His laws on this earth, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments, his holy days, his feast days, his dietary laws. Not everything. That's only a shadow of the things to come. And if we can't keep the outline, surely you're not going to be able to keep all that is rest, the rest that has to be done. He said, let no man judge you in these things, because you shouldn't be breaking them. You should be keeping them and doing them. Not keeping them. I pray we can get this, because they misread these verses. It's 47. I got a little bit of time. Continue. So why be circumcised as the seed of Abraham? You're going to be circumcised. Why be circumcised as the seed of Abraham? And let's see. Let me find this. I got the verse, but don't have the book. One second. I know this is in probably Genesis, but Let me find this verse, 7 and 8. Genesis 17, verses 7 and 8. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be an Elohim unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. So this is for the land. This is for Elohim to say, you belong to me, and you belong to this land. This land belongs to me, and I'm giving it to you by covenant. Verse 9, and Elohim said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. So, you know, I really think I have to really consider this one. Again, for the Gentiles who are in Mashiach, they want to be heirs to the land of Israel. As it says, the Gentiles will receive their inheritance in the land as well. That to receive this inheritance, they may need to be circumcised for that, but not for salvation. I have to go before the Most High on this, from that aspect. But if you wanted access to the land and to be, you know, have inheritance or a right to it, because those that are in the land will be required to come to the tabernacle, be required to come to the temple in the new land, or the land reconstituted with the new Jerusalem. And we know, according to Ezekiel, that animal sacrifice and that kind of stuff will be reinstituted. If they want to come to the temple, they have to be circumcised. So I would think in that case, in order to fulfill that law, they would have to be circumcised, because the scripture says that no uncircumcised person in heart or in flesh shall enter into his temple in Ezekiel, whether it be a Jew, a stranger, or a sojourner, or a Hebrew. So I will look at this from that standpoint and go before the Most High and make sure that I'm teaching 100. Okay, you can put a question mark by that, but I'm almost sure, I'm almost 100% sure, I'm going to say 99.9, that the Gentiles who want to sojourn among Israel in the kingdom, in Messiah's kingdom, when he establishes his throne on the earth, that those that want an inheritance in the land, that want to sojourn in the land, will have to be circumcised in order to keep that. So I think I will incorporate that from that standpoint in answer to this question, to add them in that way as well. But we know that Yah has wanted the nation to be circumcised in heart and in flesh, according to the Abrahamic covenant. You may not take part of the holy things in heart and flesh. You may get your citizenship in the kingdom, but once you're a citizen, you must be circumcised in the flesh as well as the heart. These ordinances were not done away with, but are a test to see who will follow Yah, and who will do that which is right in their own eyes. All of Abraham's seed is commanded to be circumcised. If you are Abraham's seed of the flesh, or Abraham's seed by faith. If you are Abraham's seed by faith and you want to keep the feast days, then you must be circumcised. If you are Abraham's seed by flesh, well, that was given to you in the law. There should be one law to the homeborn and to the stranger. Our Messiah was baptized and circumcised in the flesh. Why would we think we have to do less? Okay, so for that question, in the New Kingdom, they're going to have to be circumcised, keep the holy days, and the Most High says to enter into his temple, the third temple, in order to keep those feasts. Go to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44. Will Yah accept those that are uncircumcised in heart or in flesh? Ezekiel 44, starting in verse 1, and we will close out this lesson here. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east. I did say Ezekiel 44, starting in verse 1. And it was shut. Then said Yah unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened. And no man shall enter in by it, because Yah, the Elohim of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before Yah. He shall enter in by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. Then brought he me to the way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of Yah filled the house of Yah, and I fell upon my face. And Yah, son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of Yah, all the rules of the house of Yah, and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept the charge of my holy things, but you have set keeper charge in your sanctuary for yourself. Thus saith Yah Elohim, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. So the Most High has never wanted anybody, stranger or one of his children of Israel, to enter into his sanctuary being uncircumcised in heart or in flesh. And in the New Jerusalem, which he was telling, he was just having Ezekiel look at and giving him the ordinances of it, one of the first ordinances is that no stranger that sojourns among the children of Israel shall enter into his sanctuary uncircumcised in heart for in flesh, an abomination. He said Israel did this in the past. It won't be allowed in the future. Let us bow our heads. Father, Yah, we come before you even right now, Father, and we want to thank you, Father, for your word on this evening. That we would understand that it has always been your desire that your people should come and that the strangers should come to you circumcised both in heart and in flesh. And that you have never tolerated this for you, uncircumcised in evil. Father, if there be any among us that are not circumcised both in heart and in flesh, that want to come close to you, that want to keep your feast days and your commandments, that want to be part of Israel, that they understand that they must be circumcised in heart and in flesh. But those that are just wanting to enter into your kingdom, who just want salvation, Father, that they understand that they abstain from worshiping other Elohim, that they stop fornicating, as this world teaches them that it's okay to fornicate. That if they want to live for you, if they want to be saved by you, that they have to give up fornication, having sex outside of marriage. That they abstain from strangling. And if they don't know if their food is being strangled, then they need to look into it. And that they do not eat the blood of the meat that they eat. If they understand these things, then salvation is open unto them. And let them come freely, Father, as you call them. And may they enter into your bliss and into your salvation, Father, in spirit and in truth. That they obey your voice. That they learn of your commandments. That they learn to love the people. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. If there are, I'm going to open up your phone line. If you got noise in the background you don't want to have heard, move your line on your end. Are there any questions concerning being circumcised in heart and in flesh?
No, sir. I don't have any questions.
All right, amen. Thank you, my son. Anyone else? All right. If there are no questions, then we will meet again this Thursday. We will have the business meeting. I did pass out the information that I was going to pass out Sunday anyway. That's why I didn't have the meeting on Sunday. We passed it out. Heck, I forget what day that was. Sunday night, I believe. But we will have the business meeting this Thursday, and we will go over where we're at. I pray everybody call the young lady if you've been able to get a hold to her. And submit your name. As I said, it's not free. So, you know, it doesn't cost you anything if you want to do it yourself. But she knows what answers to give to the questions and will help you to get qualified and so that you can receive the money that they're giving out. Other than that, you can go to, you know, the website and do it yourself. But if you answer any question wrong, they will use it to disqualify you. If you don't know how to answer the question, it will disqualify you. And so, you know, to get the amount of money that they're giving out, you know, to pay a small price for that when we have been traditionally left out, it was worth it to me. Okay, with that being said, then we have... we have a new moon coming up on the 20th, I believe. Let me look this up real quick. A new moon service, beginning of month service, on the 20th, and then Pentecost, Feast of Pentecost is on the 28th. Sunday the 28th, okay? So we will just prepare for new moon as we are commanded to bring in the beginning of the month with Elohim as he commands. So let's come together and have a great and blessed time in Yah in doing that. And then Pentecost Sunday, we will have a service. Typically, we have not been having any type of lesson on Sundays, but we will do one for Pentecost. So of course, we will have the normal weekly Sabbath, you know, those lessons. We'll do the Pentecost service 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. On next week, we will be talking about, we will be going into the rest of Yah, R-E-S-T, the rest of Yah, okay, enter into his rest. So we will, that will be the lesson starting for next Tuesday, and so I will see you guys then for that. And have a blessed rest of your evening. Hello.
Amen.
Have a blessed evening, everybody. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.